The problem with the works of the flesh, not all works of the flesh, but sometimes the works of the flesh can be with you for life. We need to birth things of the what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. Jesus only did what he saw his Father. Jesus only spoke what he heard his Father say. Therefore, I must be attuned to the things of God. Told my message this morning, it's a risk. I'll tell you the whole thing. Faith is a risk. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about having faith in faith. A lot of Christians have faith in faith, where they believe that they say things like this. What's a good one from the Word of God? Romans. I think it's 4 or 5. God calls those things that are not. Chapter 4. God calls those things that are not as though they are. God can do that. You got no right to do that unless God says it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's no use saying, I call those things that are not as though they are. I call that million-dollar mansion on the foreshore of Hillary's with my pink Cadillac and my chauffeur. I believe it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, You won't get it. You can believe, you can shout, you can jump up and down, you can blow bubbles all the days of your life. Unless he says it, you ain't going to get it. That is having faith in your faith. Jesus never told us to have faith in faith. He tells us to have faith in God. Amen. Now he says things like this, I shall supply all your, not your wants, not your pink Cadillac, not your triple story house, not your stairway paved with gold going up to the bedroom. No. He'll supply your need. Now if you need that, he'll give it to you. But I don't know anyone that needs that. So he says, I'll just have the stairways of gold so I can sweep the gold dust off and sell it on the market. But faith is a risk. Can I hear an amen? Faith is a risk. I don't even know what I want that. What am I doing that? Where's my Bible? Faith is a risk. Turn with me. My first slide, please. Did you get my slides? Yes. Isaiah 43 and 18 says this, do not remember the former things. Now that's a command, that's a suggestion. That's actually a command. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't consider them. Don't empower the old. If you've done something wrong, disempower it. How do I disempower something that's old? Stop talking about it. Ask God to forgive you. Walk away from it. And the condemnation thereof, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I am not of that. I might have blew it. I might have done something wrong. I might have made, but I do not have to stay there. I don't have to camp around that. Amen? Things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Anyone want a new thing? Now, who's going to do it? God's going to do it. God's going to do the new thing. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. There will be a suddenly that God desires to do through your life and in your life. Shall you not know it? Yes, you will know it. I will even make road in the wilderness and rivers in your desert. In other words, there will be supply and sufficiency in what God's going to do for you. Who believes that this morning? Who needs God's provision? I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about his peace and his love and his joy. I'm talking about the riches of God that go beyond financial means. I'm talking about when you stay in your midst of your storm, you can go to sleep. When someone's screaming and shouting at you in unbelief, you can stand firm. You can say to the promises of God, yes, amen, and I thank you for it if you've spoken it. Faith involves risk to move into the new. I'm going to say that again. Faith will involve risk to move into the new. Now, here's the question. Are you prepared to take the risk? We want the new without the risk. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith, just like Israel had to step into the Jordan. It's going to take faith to believe God to say, hey, you don't belong here, move on. And I'll go with you, just like Moses. It's going to take faith, like Peter, to step out of the boat to Jesus. It's going to take faith to believe God for your healing. It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. This is the sort of risk you might have to have. When our son John was born, he was given 3 days to live. 3 days. There was a neonatal pediatrician that does extremely young babies. And he goes to my wife, be prepared, and to me, be prepared, your son's going to die. I'm 20. My wife's older than me. Be prepared. Them words hit me. That them words sunk into me. Be prepared, for your child is about to die. So when my son was born, they put him into this neonatal ward, into this room, and you could see the babies. I hadn't actually touched him. I held him. Matilda was there. She was getting ready to feed and all that sort of stuff. She says, come on in. Come on in. So I walks in. The heart monitor's on. He's beating about 149, 159. I can't remember quite right. Somewhere around there, quite high. But as soon as I walks in, his heart rate drops. 59, 100, 90, 80, 70, 30. Nurse comes along and spanks him hard. Boop, 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 boop. I goes out, his heart's fine. Next day I walks in, Matilda says, come and see John. Walks in, heart rate, doot, 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 every time. So I said to Matilda on the third time, I'm not going in. Because fear had gripped me. Then words penetrated me. I didn't have faith. He never did that with Matilda, only with me. Then she drags me in. See, sometimes, you know, you have to go on someone else's faith. Just like the man that was paralytic and had to go through the roof. He saw their faith. He didn't see his faith. He saw their faith. She drags me in. All of a sudden, the heart rate starts going down. Doot, 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 doot. And she said, in the name of Jesus. And she said, in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, doot, 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 went back up. And never did it again. Then I realized his words circumvented my faith. In fact, it robbed me of faith. My mindset was not on God at all. My mindset was on the problem. My mindset was saying things like this. Why? Ever ask God why? 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 Why as a 20-year-old boy did I have to go through that? Why as a 20-year-old young kid did I have to experience seeing, I mean, I'm not trying to blow this up any bigger than it is, but to see some absolutely atrocities of children born in them wards that you would see daily no longer in the ward. Where one day I walks in, I think he was about 3 weeks old or 4 weeks old, and there's a pillow over him. Now work that one out. A pillow over his head. Then one day when his heart rate did drop, the nurse that was constantly looking after him, because it seemed to have this a roster of nurses, but them nurses were specifically to that child. There was a different nurse. His heart rate dropped, and she picked him up and she walloped him. And his heart rate came back up, and the head nurse says, why did you do that for? And all these voices try and rob you of your faith. I started questioning God. I said, God, where are you in all this? Then all of a sudden, I believe at that time my wife had a gift of faith. all of a sudden, this neonatal minute, this surgeon said this. He's going to die. My wife said, well, if he's going to die, I'm going to take him home. Yeah, well, you've got to learn to feed him. You've got to put the tube down his throat every 2 hours, syringe, no solids. Every 2 hours until he dies, you can take him home. You've got to learn it for a month. She's learning it. I'm just saying, well, I was in a hopeless state. And all of a sudden, my wife's witnessing to every Tom, Dick, Harry, Jane, Joan, whoever. She'll witness to the dog down the street. She's telling everyone about Jesus. She tells Mr. Pemberton about Jesus. And he says, shut up, screaming at her. Don't you know I've got the power of life and death in my hands? And my wife said, you got the power of squat unless my God gives it to you. And he says, you're a religious zealot, a religious idiot. Me being the one with lacking faith, just stood there. Fear robs you of faith. I'm going to say that again. Fear will rob you of faith. Here's another one you need to remember. Words only have the power that I give them. Doesn't matter what they're saying. It's how much I'm allowing it to infect me. I'm going to say that again. Infect me. Because, see, unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is contagious. Unbelief is a disease. So anyway, 6 years later, they ring us up. 6 years later, a lady rings up and says, she didn't know what to say, to be honest. She says to me, how's John? I said, yeah, he's good. He's on the floor right next. Oh, he's alive. I said, yeah, going well. She goes, we'd like to see him. It's been 6 years. This was when he was six, just after he got his peg leg. Anyway, we're walking in to Princess Margaret. Remember the old Princess Margaret, the round, you go at the top, get dropped off, and you go and find a car park, drop my wife off, she's waiting for me. We walk through the gates, walk through the glass doors, walk through the next glass doors. And just as we walk through the glass doors, Mr. Pemberton, with his entourage of young proteges, walked in. Just walked past us like that. Then he stopped. He didn't recognize me. Well, why would he? Man that disagreed with him. He recognized her, someone that didn't agree with him. And he's looking down to John, who by this time has got a piece of wood about that long with a piece of rubber at the bottom with this massive big Paris of plaster mold going up his little leg. And he looks and he stops and he starts to cry. And he's turned around to his entourage of about 20 and he said this, I didn't believe in miracles. He said, but that's a miracle. He said, that's a miracle. To all of them, he said, that's a miracle. See, faith can face things that people that lack faith can't. Faith will uphold you in your belief in your God when it doesn't matter what's being said, even to death. That if you have a word from him, and my wife had a word, Lord, if you want him, he can go. But if he lives longer than 3 days, he's mine. That's the word. And he lived. So she held on to a word. Amen. And so when you're in your circumstances and situations, when death, even death you can face, if you hold on to the word, if you just keep your hold on to the word that he's spoken to you, amen, he can bring fruitfulness out of barrenness. He can bring hope out of hopelessness. And in the midst of that, he will bring a testimony out of you that can bear witness about him and to you of the goodness of your God. Faith. Faith. Jesus referenced five times, well, I'm just going to mention five things about little faith. In Matthew 6, verse 30 to 34. Matthew 6, verse 36 to 34. Next slide, please. It says this. It says, oh, the lilies of the field. He says, will you not much more that clothe you? Then he said this, are you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we? See, faith, that's what little faith does, a lack of faith does. What shall we? How's it going to happen? How's it going to all occur? Are you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Say, worry. Say it with me, worry causes little faith. It will stifle your faith. In fact, he commands us not to worry. Worry will limit your faith. All right? Matthew 8 and 25 says this, then his disciples came to him and awoke him saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said, why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? Are you of little fear causes a lack of faith? Fear. Now I want you to look at the last three ones because it says why. There's a question there that God's saying, why have you allowed this? Why? Matthew 4, 30 to 31 says this, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. This is Peter. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith. Why? Why did you allow doubt? Why? And sometimes, you know, we've got to ask that question to ourselves. Why have I allowed that? Why am I lacking faith in this? Why? What is it? Am I in fear? What is it? Do I lack faith because I'm in doubt? What is it? Why am I lacking that faith? Is it because I'm not in control of the situation? Why am I walking in a limited faith? Who believes God's given every Christian, a measure of faith? Doesn't that what he says? You've all been given a measure of faith. That which is not of your own, it's a gift of God, from God. Every one of us has been given a measure of faith. But I believe you can increase the measure. Why did you doubt? Doubt causes little faith. Matthew 16 and 8 says, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, are you of little faith? Do you reason among yourselves? They were talking about the bread. He had just fed the 5,000. Are you little faith? Why do you reason among yourselves? Your reasoning, your mind, your intellect can cause little faith. You trying to work it out. You trying to have plan B, C, and D. When God's saying stick to plan A. Anyone guilty of that? Little faith. Little faith. Yet in the book of Acts, when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, there was five greats that the apostles walked in. One of them was called Great Faith. Great Faith. Who wants to increase their faith? Great faith. Jesus speaks of great faith and faith. Matthew 8, the centurion answered and said to him, Lord, now you've got to understand the picture here. This centurion wasn't a Jew. He was a Roman. This centurion was a captain or an officer over 100. Yet he was moved by a servant who was probably a slave. So moved that he went approximately 17 miles to go and see Jesus about his slave, his servant. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy. Jesus, I'll come. He asked him to heal him. I'm not worthy that he should come under my roof. Speak only a word. The slave or the servant wasn't even with the centurion. All he wanted to hear was a word. He knew what authority was. He knew when he spoke a word, it was a command and they would do it. Nothing would stop that command. Otherwise, they were in rebellion. All of a sudden, he says, send the word. Give me a word. And the servant will be healed. Hear that? That's faith. Send your word and he will be healed. He knew the power of authority. Send the word, he will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. He had great faith because he knew that the power of the word. Now, hear me, if you want to grow in your faith, you better know your word. Not just your confession. You've got to understand that the word is the power. The word is the final authority. The word, in fact, the Bible says the word is above his name. The word of God. It is all powerful. The word of God. And to receive that word, to understand that word, it will increase my faith, knowing the authority of the word that is spoken. Who believes this book is the very oracles of God's word himself? At the very mouth of God. If you want to hear a word, read it. If you need a word, read it. This is the very breath of God himself. And when he speaks, it contains the authority and the power of his position. I'm talking about God Almighty, where all things are subject to him. Whether above the earth, in the earth, or under the earth, everything is subject to him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he alone is Lord. Doesn't matter sickness or disease, it will bow. Doesn't matter if there's lack or insufficiency, it will bow. Doesn't matter if there's unbelief, it will bow. Hear me. Doesn't matter if demons, they will bow. Yet we become so flippant with the word. And we think it's just a book. And that's why I think a lot of Christians, they struggle because the enemy's strategy is so you do not get into this. He doesn't mind you hearing a sermon. He doesn't even mind you quoting scripture because most of it's wrong. Even the devil quoted scripture, but he only quoted half of it. And a lot of times Christians, we misconstrue scripture so badly. For instance, things like this. Heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Straight away people are thinking of fighting and demons and there's an entourage in heaven and darkness and is interrupting heaven. I used to believe that for years. Heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Can you imagine your God Almighty sitting on his throne and there's a war going around him? Come on. Do you think God's going to allow that to happen? Do you honestly think God's going to allow heaven to be interrupted by a devil? So the church folk get all whipped up. Ah, Shandara, Yohundi, Suzuki, Mitsubishi. And we go for it. And we get all lathered and we're worn out, but it doesn't even mean that. If you take it into context, which most Christians don't take into context because they just take a verse by a verse by a verse, make it fit our theology. But if you take it into context, he's talking about John the Baptist. Heaven suffers violence. In other words, there was a violence of trying to enter the kingdom of the word that John was preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there was an entourage that said the whole city was out there to wait for him. And they were pushing in, pressing into this new revelation. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they were so violent about this new revelation that what Paul was bringing, that they wanted it so badly. There was a passion to enter in. We're going to take it by force. That's literally what it means. It doesn't mean an angel fighting a devil in heaven for space. Can I hear an amen? So we take, if we don't know the context and we're not reading it, we don't understand the truth of it. Therefore, we go in these tangents and we're fighting in the spirit. Oh, we're warfaring and oh, we're jumping up and down. It reminds me of the prophets of Baal with Elijah, where he's resting, having a good old giggle. And they're frothing and bubbling and cutting themselves and doing all this stuff, trying to make God, their God, move. Hallelujah. Anyway, praise the Lord. Let's keep going, David. According to your faith, on the last one, he saw their faith. I saw my wife's faith and I jumped on her tails of her shirt. I said, I'm going to drag along with you. I'm going to say what you say. I'm going to do what you do until that revelation gets into my spirit and changes this and negates them words that that man spoke into me. And I start repeating. And I know it might sound old-fashioned. It might sound, well, why would you have to do that? I kept washing myself with the water of the word till it became faith in me. Hear me. It became faith. In other words, God, you're right, I'm wrong. Change the wrong in me. Wash me in the water of that word. Wash me in the water of that word. I absorbed the word. I loved the word. I ate the word. I drank the word. I was reading my New Testament every 3 days. Except for the book of Revelation. I used to get up at 3 a.m. I was going to work. I used to get up at 3 a.m. I'd leave for my bus at 6:20. Even on the bus, I would be reading my Bible. People would be looking at me and I'd smile at them. They'd say, oh, what are you reading that for? I said, well, why are you listening to that? So I like it. So I said, I like this. We've got to be people of the word. I'm not saying you have to do that. That's what he put on me. But you've got to be studious for the word because truth will make you free. No use you running on someone else's truth. You've got to have revelation truth for you. Because when they're not around you, what are you going to do? You're going to run to someone else. Give me a word. 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 He's given you the word. Read it. So what the devil does, he tries to deafen our ears. Tries to remove the passion. Tries to remove the hunger. Tries to remove the thirst for his word. And we look at it. And this has happened to us. We look at it. Read the old King James. I love the old King James. Love it. But young folk don't know what thee and thou are. Or unction. They don't understand them words anymore. Oh, I just feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. What's that? What's an unction? Then I started reading the NLT. Then I got into the New King James. I think we could open up our own Bible. We got that many Bibles. And I'd swap it so I wasn't accustomed to reading the same old, same old. Now I'm reading, I love my ESV. Love it. Love my ESV. Sometimes I have to flick back to the New King James, Old King James, say, why is that not there? And that's another thing it does to you. It sharpens you. Amen? According to your faith, be it unto you. Understand that he is able to do it. You and I, this is the foundation of faith. You and I have got come to that place, that conclusion, that my God is able. If I don't get to that, I can't have faith. My God is able. Whether he does it for you or not, he's still able. Who believes that this morning? My God is able. And he who comes to God must believe that he is. Is what? Is everything I need him to be. He never finishes it. Hello, Moses. Whom shall I say who sent me, Lord? Say that I am sent you. Have you ever thought of that? I am. I mean, you know, he never finished the sentence. Tell him I am sent you. I am what? Anything you need me to be. I am. I am the beginning. I'm the end. I'm your Alpha. Your Omega. I'm everything you need me to be. I'm your comforter. I'm your lover. I'm your chastener. And I'm the one that will walk your, and hold your hand and walk you through your valley of the shadow of death. I'm your everything. For this is eternal life, John 17. For this is eternal life, that I may know him. Not the miracles of him, not the provision of him. That I may know him. This one thing I do, letting go of the former things. And I have become fully persuaded, Paul says. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded about what? That my God can do all things. I don't know what your thing is, but your God is greater than your thing. Faith believes that he is. Faith releases me from my yesterday. Faith does not consider the old. Faith waits in expectation. Faith believes God causes the breakthrough. Faith is persuaded that God will make a way. Faith believes that he can bring fruitfulness out of barrenness. Turn with me to Romans 4. Romans 4. Abraham says this, who contrary to hope and hope believed. Just that statement alone is mind-blowing. Who contrary to hope and hope believed. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was what? Spoken. Not his wish, not his desire, what God had spoken to him. So shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own. His weakness was his body. Whatever my weakness is, let's turn it. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own. Let's flip it. Weak faith considers your own weakness. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own lack. Inability. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and of the deadness of Sarah's womb. He had already received the promise from the dead. Amen? He did not waver the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief will cause you to waver. A double-minded man is unstable in all his... It will cause you to waver. Unbelief. Is God really for me? Does God really love me? Did God really say? But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Stop. How do I strengthen my faith? How do I strengthen my faith? Giving glory to God. Whether you can see it or whether you don't. You start giving God some glory. If he has spoken it, you can give God some glory. Amen? And it will strengthen your faith. Because you're not moved by what you see. Even from, like Abraham, even from the deadness of Sarah's womb. Don't forget, she was 90. I don't even know if she would have had a womb. Probably like a dried up prune. And God had to bring some life to it. Out of the deadness of that nothingness, out of deadness, He brought life. I mean, just the miracle of Abram at 99. Giving it Sarah the eye. That's a miracle all by itself. Can I have an amen? Thank you, Jesus. That's just a miracle all by itself. From the faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, hear me, he received the promise, he's convinced of the promise, he was now had to start believing by faith, he's able to do it. Glory to God. He's now able to do it. Can you imagine him running to Sarah? How do you feel, Sarah? Any kicking yet? How do you feel, Sarah? I've got morning sickness. Hallelujah. He would have been ecstatic. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. He increased his faith because he had a word. He became great in faith. To such a point, this faith sent him to Mount Moriah. I'll rephrase that, to the mountains of Moriah. He loaded his own son with the wood because the Lord had asked him to sacrifice him. Loaded his own son up with the wood. Then he said a faith statement. He said something like this. That's exactly right. He said this. When we return, he was going up the hill to kill him. But he declared a faith statement to the servants below and says, when we return. Because he already had received him from the dead. So he knew it was nothing for God to raise the dead. My faith should be anchored in not what I think. Because what my thinking would say this, don't kill him. He's the son of promise. Don't kill him. But faith would allow me. In fact, faith lifted up his hand to kill him. Then faith gave him the eyes to see the ram in the thicket. That's the power of faith. Faith in his word. Faith in who he is. I don't care what you're facing. If he's given you a word, if he's given you a word, hold on to it with all of your might. And don't let the voices of unbelief and doubt encroach you and cast them aside and say, no, 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 no. My God cannot lie to me. I stand by faith. I can stand by faith on the promises of the word. Yet for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's why I will never be disturbed by their storms. When panic sets in into a home, anyone's house ever had a little bit of panic sometimes? I thank God someone's truthful. So this panic, little panic thing happened the other day in our house. Gets a phone call, panic. And I said to my beloved, I won't tell you who it was, get back to your gift of worship and worship him in your storm and gain your peace back. You see, sometimes we forget the gift that he's given me. My Bible says his gift makes room. So when you don't understand it here, you get back into your gift of worship and it will make room for you to think clearly. The next message I get is, I just got given a song by the Lord. And all of a sudden she went to sleep. Oh, I've said it now. That person went to sleep. Sorry, darling. That person went to sleep. She had a good sleep. Sometimes you just need to hear the truth for faith to arise again. Amen? Let's stand this morning. Peter had to have faith to cast the net again. God spoke fish, and 153 fish jumped into the net. His effort was all his effort was to pick them up. But his first step was faith. Amen. I don't know about you, but if you've toiled all night, the last thing you want to do is get your net wet again. You just want to go home. But he'll cause you to step beyond your norm. See, that's what faith does. Faith will ask you to step beyond your own strength. Because if it was in your power, you don't need faith. He'll cause you to stretch out. Amen. And there's some people here this morning he's going to cause you to stretch out. It's going to cause you to go beyond your norm. And you mightn't feel anything under your feet, but he wants you to stand till he builds something for you and in you. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't need faith when everything is going well. So expect storms to build faith. It's just part of the thing, part of the course. But if you want to go beyond your moment of now, and you want to go into that new thing, and you want to say, yes, Lord, I want to stretch beyond this and go into that which you've declared and decreed for my life, you're going to have to take extra faith. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want the new thing. I want the new thing. I want to move into the new things. I want a harvest for Jesus. I want to see souls saved. I want to see lives transformed. I want to see people healed. I want to see the glory of God fall upon the earth through his house. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. If you want to enter into your new thing, say, Lord, charge me with some fresh faith. Cause me to believe. Cause me, like Abraham, to deal with my unbelief. Cause me to be like Abraham and not be weak in faith. Cause me not to consider my own circumstance, my own situation. Cause me to arise in faith. If that's you this morning, you just lift up your hands before the Lord if you want that new thing. I don't care if it's for your house. I don't care if it's for you. But a new thing. He'll cause you to confront unbelief. He'll cause you to confront those things that are anti-him. He'll cause you to stand by faith when unbelief is all around you. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you see every hand raised this morning. Father, infuse them afresh with the things of your Spirit. Father, let faith arise in their hearts beyond their now. Let them old things pass away and let them new things become. All things become new. Father, let them be able to step out by faith and believe that you are the God that is. You're the God of the now. You're the God that is. You're the God that is more than able. You're the God of enough. Father, we receive it by faith. Father, increase our faith. Challenge my faith. Allow me to see where I'm weak in faith, that I can strengthen that faith. And help me to be a man or a woman of your word. I ask in the name of Jesus. And if that's you this morning, you shout to him, amen. 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 He's a good God. But as the day approaches, he's going to require more. He is. He's going to require more of us. And there's going to be a wrestle. And the wrestle will be over your time. Because he's one of the things he says in Daniel, that he tries to wear out the saints. Seven what? Thanks, love. Daniel 7:25. He tries to wear them out. Busy, 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 busy. Problem is, they're not busy for God. Amen? So be aware. Redeem your time. God bless you. Have a good week. Great week. Successful week. In Jesus' name.